Let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our New Testament passage comes from Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. On this Sunday morning during Memorial Day weekend, let's consider the importance of remembering. We will think together about remembering as a guide to the past, remembering as a guide to the present, and especially remembering as a guide to the future. Remembering as a guide to the past. We need to know about our history in order to remember it. Special events and ceremonies take place on Memorial Day weekend in order to help us remember and honor those who have bravely served our country and gone before us. Here in Cranberry, as Pastor Lou was telling us, political leaders and musicians and a pastor will gather at the park down here where George Washington camped with his troops at the side of the river near Lake Brainerd. We will have the festive parade on Main Street, complete with musical bands and fire engines and marching scouts. And the many flags that we see around town remind us that this holiday isn't just about the fun barbecues and the parties that we look forward to. As with so many traditional celebrations, sometimes we need to recall the reason for the season. Similarly, out in California, my father and his friends will join with relatives and the wider community for the annual Memorial Day ceremony at the cemetery. This is a yearly event with a parade, the route of which is lined with American flags, one for each U.S. veteran who is buried there. At the appointed time, family members or friends take the flags and place them at the grave of their loved ones who have served our country. You may know that my mother was a Presbyterian minister. She was the first woman chaplain in the California National Guard. This was back in the 70s. Then an Army chaplain with the 7th Infantry Division at Fort Ord, California. She was a little older than me when she was doing this. Then the post chaplain at Walter Reed Army Medical Center, and finally chaplain at the Department of Veterans Affairs Medical Center and Nursing Home and Hospice there in Washington, D.C. Her father, my grandfather, was a cowboy in Wyoming and an Eagle Scout who became an Army cavalry officer and went on to become a lieutenant colonel serving in military intelligence in Alaska, Guam, and France after World War II. So having a personal connection to the military helps me feel that Memorial Day is very meaningful. And I know a lot of you in the congregation have family members who are serving in the military, and we remember them in our prayer list, which we have posted every week, and I think that's really important. But what about the people who don't have an affinity for history? How can they remember what they don't know about? Some educators and sociologists are concerned that many teens and college students these days in the younger generation don't know as much about American history. There's a professor at Emory University named Mark Bauerlin who wrote a book on this topic in which he analyzed decreasing historical literacy based on test scores and empirical studies. He used as a popular example the jaywalking segment on The Tonight Show. That's when Jay Leno goes out onto the streets of L.A. and he just picks random people, right? And he likes 20-somethings, and he asks them questions that he thinks, oh, they'll know the answer to this. Like, how many stars are there in the American flag? And, you know, you figure they'll know the answer, but what makes it funny is sometimes they don't know the answer, or they'll be like, well, how is anybody supposed to know that answer? You know, I could look it up. Well, I think our students know a lot of things. Let's try a question, shall we? Okay, teenagers, who was the father of the Constitution? Right on! See, good job. That's awesome. Some critics might say that maybe if our students don't know so much, it's because of our education system that's struggling. Others might say it's generational. Young people don't esteem the importance of historical events, even ones that seem maybe more recent to us adults. But maybe that's always been the case. Even way back when, in American history, when it was first beginning, or maybe even back in biblical times. I wonder, maybe, when Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca, Jacob, Rachel and Leah were sitting around, at the end of the day, they might have said to one another, I wish the younger generation really understood our history better. It's possible. I think that our students today remember major events that took place in their lifetime, like the destruction of the World Trade Center on September 11th, 2001. I believe that young people care about people who are affected by difficult circumstances in current events. And maybe they feel a bit overwhelmed by the news that seems to bombard us from every direction, like an information overload. We should encourage students to know more about American history. And maybe we as teachers, parents, interested adults can work harder to help them understand the connections between our American history and what's happening today. In some countries, people know their history very well. And tragically, remembering history too well proves to be toxic. This leads to remembering as a guide to the present. Memory can be problematic if we individually or as a group hold on to past grudges and resentments. Memory can perpetuate conflict. Think about a place like Bosnia. The history of the Balkans is complicated with struggles among people of different ethnic, religious, and language groups. They have seen shifts in political power since the times of the Roman Empire, when the people of Bosnia were called Illyrians. You can look this up on Wikipedia, and it's like so complicated. You're like trying to figure out, tracing back, what is it that has made these people so unhappy with each other? The conflicts in Bosnia during the 1990s arose from their memories of long-ago conflicts during the Ottoman Empire, during Austro-Hungarian and German periods. There's strife between the Bosnians, the Serbs, and the Croats, slumbered during the period of Yugoslavian communism, but then it erupted again in warfare in the 1990s. These wars in the Balkans during the 90s occurred partly because the people from all sides remembered their history too well. As a correspondent from the Times wrote, the fall of communism was not the end of history, but the beginning of instant replay. In the Balkans, if you try to explain political events after communism, you have to understand there's too much history in too little room. They're all crowded in together, said Professor Vladimir Godi, a political sociologist. Similarly, memories of ancient animosities also motivate contemporary hostilities in the Bible. For example, the Amalekites hated the Israelites because of their displacement from the Holy Land. Remember, Joshua led the tribes of Israel into the Promised Land, and then they entered into conflict with the Amalekites. Joshua spared them, but that was a decision they became to regret. It led to a lot of problems for the Israelites because the Amalekites harbored their hatred against them. And then generations later, we see in the book of Esther that the descendants of the Amalekites attempted to exterminate the Jewish people. Thankfully, the crisis was averted by Esther and her wise uncle Mordecai, so the plot was foiled. And our Jewish friends celebrate this deliverance that God gave them each year in a festival called Purim. But the story just shows how long-lasting historical animosities can be. Remembering ancient grudges can be a burden on the present. And sometimes, we have to say, it's better to forgive and forget. There's this cool song by OK Go. We saw the video at the middle school retreat, and it says, "Let it go, this too shall pass." And the video is very powerful because it's all about this Rube Goldberg machine. It's like a maze. It all starts with a guy knocks the domino, and all the dominoes fall down. And then it turns into this huge, amazing thing that goes, it's like multi-leveled. Have you seen this? It's in a warehouse, and it's like the drum kit starts playing. Spoons are banging on the glasses of water to make the notes. They've got pianos falling and umbrellas flying. And at the very end, the four guys in the band get sprayed with paint. You can see that you can see how we're connected to each other, but you can also see how there's a domino effect. And if we let our anger or our resentments or our memories of the past stick with us, it can set off a chain reaction that keeps continuing and is not leading to something good. So, as a contrast, let's think about remembering as a guide to the future. The biblical purpose of remembering is so that we can anticipate the reconciliation of all people with God. By recalling what God has already done on our behalf, we anticipate what He will do in the future. By recalling the marvels that God has accomplished, we anticipate that He will again prove His faithfulness. We saw in Psalm 105 that we are encouraged to remember the wonderful works He has done, His miracles, and the judgments that He uttered. O offspring of His servant Abraham, children of Jacob, His chosen ones. Now we, as followers of Christ Jesus, have been welcomed into the family of God. So we too are to consider ourselves heirs, fellow heirs with Christ. We are to see ourselves as part of God's people who remember His mighty deeds. This gives us hope that God will continue to deliver on His promises. Psalm 105 praises God, who is mindful of His covenant forever, of the word that He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant He made with Abraham, His sworn promise to Isaac, which He confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, "To you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance." We are treated to an impressive history of God's redeeming actions for His people through the trials and difficulties in Egypt, through the exodus and wandering in the wilderness, all the way into the promised land. It says, God brought His people out with joy, with singing, and He gave them the lands of the nations. The purpose of this historical recitation is not to prepare us for a test in biblical literacy. The purpose is to remind us that God will continue to be faithful to us in the future. The Bible isn't just an old book of things that happened in the past. In the Bible, we see that God orchestrated events throughout the biblical witness for a specific purpose: to bring in the fullness of time the reconciliation of humanity with God and with one another. That's what Jesus was doing in His teaching and His healing ministry. Reconciliation was the goal that Jesus accomplished on the cross and in His resurrection from the tomb. The world's long history of strife and sin, of struggling against God and one another, could only be resolved in Christ. God has always been directing the events of history. In Jesus Christ, we recognize God's willingness to enter into human events in a unique way, in order to decisively change history to fulfill his purposes in the future. In our New Testament passage, the Apostle Paul sums up his gospel in these words: "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. This is my gospel." Why remember? In verse 10, we find the purpose clause: "So that the elect, the chosen people of God, may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Remembering what God has accomplished in Jesus Christ reminds us about the salvation that he will accomplish in the future. By remembering, we look forward to a future of salvation through him with eternal glory. So let us remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead on this Memorial Day. Let us remember that all who have died in Christ will be raised with him. Let us put aside ancient hostilities and live as a people of hope, a people of memory who look forward to a future of salvation and reconciliation. Amen.